Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Josh is filling out his college application. He's asked to list his leadership positions as well as any awards, achievements, and honors. Gulp. Josh takes a deep breath. Hi, I'm Meredith Curtis. Welcome to Finish Well Radio. Today we're going to talk about leadership. Are you ready to lead? I hope so. And I hope by the end of this session, you are going to be ready to put on the mantle of leadership and walk in God's goodness and have faith in Him and trust Him to use you as a mighty leader in your generation. You know, just like Josh filling out that college application, people everywhere are looking for leaders, and people everywhere want to be leaders but feel nervous about being a leader. Colleges look for leaders because they believe that people with leadership potential or people who've already walked in leadership positions are going to make better students. They're going to go on and be successful, and in the end, they're going to make their college look good. Employers are looking for leaders because they want people who will work on their own without being micromanaged. They want people who are going to be creative and try new things. Young people, old people, everyone wants a leader they can trust. We want help. We want direction. We want advice, practical wisdom from leadership that we believe has our best interest in heart. Well, let me tell you about a guy named Tim. Tim was a very young Christian leader. His mom was a Christian, but his dad, oh boy, his dad was not the best guy, and he wasn't even a Christian. But Apostle Paul came along and he said, "Timothy, I see leadership potential in you. Come on." And so Timothy traveled with Paul and he learned from Paul and was mentored by him and eventually was raised up to be first a pastor and then eventually an apostle. So Paul said to Timothy one day, "I'm going to send you to Ephesus and I want you to appoint leaders there. It's a brand new church." And so there is Timothy going into Ephesus, a young man, and he is going to have to look around the church and figure out what leaders should be put in place. Now, Timothy was an unlikely leader with this background, but there was another reason Timothy was an unlikely leader. Timothy had God's anointing, but he really struggled with fear. And Paul writes to Timothy about that fear, and he says, "For this reason, Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." That's his letters to Timothy while Timothy was there in Ephesus, appointing leaders, and then later when Paul is in prison and calling for him. So Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Hey, you are a great leader. You have the anointing of God. But don't let fear hold you back." And maybe you're listening right now and you think, "Oh my goodness, I am not a leader." Well, let me just tell you something. As Christians, we're called to lead in the very least by sharing the gospel and holding up the way to Jesus, the way that people all over the world can come to know Jesus. If you're a young man, you are called to lead your home one day. And all of us are called to be leaders in our relationship with our children and with younger believers. So whether you like it or not, you do have a call to leadership on you. So if you have fear in you, remember that God gives us the power to be a leader. And his power gets rid of fear, and it gives us power and love and self-discipline. Another young leader I want to tell you about, another very unlikely leader who ended up doing amazing things, was Dan. Dan was kidnapped from his hometown. He had to start a brand new life without his parents, without his temple teachers, without his brothers and sisters. He did have some friends who were kidnapped along with him, and they did love the Lord. But the place that Dan was taken was known all over the world for being wicked, for being full of sin, for being full of idolatry. And Dan was a devout Jew, and so were his friends. When they got into the palace of the king, where these young men who had been kidnapped were going to be trained to become leaders in Babylon, Daniel refused to compromise. They were asking him to eat all kinds of food that was against the Jewish law, and he just decided, I will not compromise. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Would that close the door on leadership for Daniel? No, as a matter of fact, the Lord gave Daniel favor with the steward, and the steward allowed Daniel to eat his own foods that were in agreement with the Jewish law, and Daniel and his friends who did that were more healthy than any of the other men that were in leadership training in Babylon. And so not only did God keep them healthy, but to those four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So here's this unlikely leader. He's a kidnap victim in a horrible country, a horrible place, full of sin, full of idolatry, and yet God puts his anointing on because Daniel refuses to defile himself. He is going to honor God, and God uses him with leader after leader in the Empire of Babylon. And then when Babylon is defeated and the Persian emperor comes in, God uses him with that emperor too. So here is a man, an unlikely leader, because so many circumstances happened in his life, and yet God uses him in a mighty way to influence unbelieving leaders, powerful leaders, on the world scene at the time. So maybe a lot of life circumstances have happened to you and you feel like, oh, you don't know my life. There is no way I could be a leader. There is so much stacked against me. In fact, I don't even like to talk in front of people, much less give direction and leadership to situations. Well, let me tell you something. You resolve in your heart to honor Christ and to not defile yourself. And you leave the rest to God, because God loves taking us ordinary people and using us in mighty ways. He is so awesome like that. So we're talking about leaders, and we've talked about Tim and Dan and how they were very unlikely leaders. What is a leader anyway? Well, a leader influences, challenges, and gives direction to his followers. A leader is someone that people follow, basically. So if people are going to make a decision and they're trying to figure out what to do, a leader is someone that people turn to and say, hey, what do you think? What do you think we should do? Our world is filled with many good leaders, but a lot of really bad leaders too. In the world, leaders are up on a pedestal. We exalt them. I mean, if someone scores a lot of points in a basketball game, then we feel like they can give us romantic advice, or they can give us business advice, or tell us what kind of insurance we should buy. And so we have a very skewed view in our world about what gives someone credibility as a leader. But God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. Leaders serve and lay down their lives just as Jesus did. You see, leadership is stewardship. What do I mean by that? Well, a steward doesn't own things. He just takes care of them for the person who owns them. So what does that have to do with leadership? Well, all authority belongs to God. All responsibility belongs to God. He delegates responsibility to people, and then he gives them enough authority to get the job done. So what do I mean by that? Well, a father is given the responsibility to protect his family, his wife and children, to teach them and train them in the ways of the Lord, to provide for them. That's his responsibility. And God gives him enough authority to get that job done. Now, God doesn't give authority to husbands and fathers so they can boss their wives and children around, so they can say, hey, get me a Coke or get me a cup of coffee. No, that's not why God gives authority. God gives authority to fathers and husbands so they can implement the things that he's called them to do. What about pastors? Well, God gives pastors the responsibility to make disciples, to proclaim the gospel, and to help people grow up in their faith. And so every pastor has that responsibility, and they also have authority. So a pastor has authority to make decisions and to run the church. But a pastor doesn't have authority to tell a father how to discipline his child. Unless, of course, the father is sinning, and then he has the responsibility as a brother in the Lord to go to him privately. But I hope you're kind of getting what I'm saying. Government has responsibility to make laws and to enforce them and to protect their people. But our government in today's world has so far overstepped their bounds of responsibility, and with that, they've taken up so much authority that God hasn't given them. Everybody would do well to remember that authority is stewardship. You see, all authority belongs to God. He has the responsibility, ultimately, to provide for us, to protect us, to care for us. But he delegates responsibility to people, to families, to the government, to businesses, to churches, and then with that responsibility comes authority. And that authority is to get the job done. So what does a leader do? Well, leaders teach, instruct, and give advice. Some leaders' main responsibility is to equip the people that they lead, to equip their team, to teach them about the latest technology, or a pastor's would be responsible to teach the word and to give practical advice. A father and a mother, their responsibility in leadership is to teach their children. So leaders teach and instruct. Leaders also get a job, task, or project done with a team of people. It might be as simple as a father leading his children to plant a large garden in the backyard. Or it might be as big as the CEO of a company leading his entire company with all the employees to fulfill the vision and purpose of the company. If it's making widgets or creating computers or whatever it's doing, that CEO is leading people to accomplish a task. Leaders also care for people and help them through difficult times. If you think about people who counsel and give advice and comfort. Of course, pastors come to our mind, but there are also doctors. There's also counselors. There's so many people in leadership positions who not only get the job done or teach and instruct, but they also care for the people that they lead. Leaders inspire and motivate people to do their best, to work hard, and to stay loyal. Leaders set an example for others to follow. We trust leaders who live out what they call us to do. And that's a word called integrity. And a leader with integrity, wow, that is truly a treasure. We are going to talk more about leadership and are you ready to lead after we have a message from our sponsor, Powerline Productions. We'll be right back.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and e-books about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's P-O-W-E-R. LINEPROD.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome back. We're talking about leadership today, and we've talked about what leaders do and what is a leader anyway and how leadership is stewardship. We also talked about two unlikely leaders, Dan and Tim, who did awesome things in the power of God. We talked earlier, too, about how we'll listen to someone who scores a lot of points in a basketball game about how to have a good romantic relationship or which healthcare to choose. Well, that's a little bit silly because just because someone is good at basketball doesn't necessarily mean they're good at relationships. So I want to talk to you a second about leadership in God's church because I think the principles that you find in that really make a difference in building leadership character qualities in your own life. And once these character qualities are in your own life, you will be able to use them in any leadership position you enter into in your entire life. What do you mean qualifications for leadership? Meredith, what are you talking about? Well, let me tell you. See, God has a plan to build his kingdom, his church, to spread his glory as the waters cover the sea, all over the earth. He wants everyone on the earth to know about him. And there needs to be leadership to mobilize and lead Christians to share the gospel, to make disciples, to equip other believers, to equip families, and all of that stuff. So God has leaders in his church that he delegates that responsibility to and then gives them authority. But in God's kingdom, it's not like anyone can just decide, hey, I want to be a leader. They have to meet qualifications. So I'm going to read you one passage of scripture that gives the qualifications for a man who wants to be a leader in God's church. Now, there's more passages in Titus 1, and this is just a few verses from an entire passage in 1 Timothy 3. The whole passage is verses 1 through 10, but I'm just going to read verses 2 through 4. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. A little later when it's talking about deacons, he say obey him with proper respect. So if a man wants to be a leader in God's church, he has to be faithful. He can't be a drunkard or lose his temper or live in a way that is really kind of creepy and weird. He has to be loving, able to teach, hospitable, inviting people into his home, and he has to be gentle. He can't be someone who fights with other men and women all the time. He has to be someone who is able to teach the word and discuss things with people without losing his temper. He can't love money or be greedy. And he also has to manage his own family well. And it goes on in this passage and it says, if someone can't manage his own family well, how can he manage the church? Because, of course, the church is God's family. So if someone can't even do what he needs to be done in his own home, how is he going to do that in God's home? So that's kind of interesting. If you're a guy and you're listening, you know, you may say, oh my goodness, I'll never be a leader because I have such a bad temper. You should see me. I even break the door frame of my bedroom when I slam the door. Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but you need to realize that leadership, these are the things to look for. Have integrity. Be able to teach the word, and not just teach the word, but be able in your own life to be wise and be able to apply the word to areas of your life. Learn to be gentle and discuss things with people, not quarrel and argue. and to be self-controlled and faithful. Cultivate loyalty in your relationships with your family and with your friends. So those are just some things that God looks for in a man who wants to be a leader in his church. Okay, girls, now it's your turn. What does God look for in a woman? Well, there are more passages on this, but I'm just going to share Titus 2, 3 through 5. And of course, there are more passages on what God looks for in a woman, and they overlap with man. It's not like man has this set over here and women have this set. But God does zero in some things specifically with women. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. So again, we have that same thing. The elder can't be given to drunkenness. Well, older women can't be addicted to much wine. It's the same idea of being self-controlled. They need to teach what is good. Again, that ability to teach the word. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure. Self-control, again, just like when he was talking to the man. To be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Now, God focuses on women, he says, not to be slanderers. And another passage where it talks to women about being leaders, it talks about not gossiping. And with men, it talks about not arguing. Now, it doesn't mean that men don't gossip and women don't argue. But I think in a special way, should I use the word special? Well, in a sad kind of way, women tend to gossip more. We're more relational. We get hurt more easily. We feel close to people when we chit chat. And so we tend to say things sometimes to other women that we shouldn't say. Men tend to struggle a little bit more with being prideful and boastful. Not that women don't, and they tend to argue and get in arguments, and I'm better, and you're wrong, and I'm going to show you you're wrong. And so those are just, it's not like women don't struggle with that and don't need to work on that. It's not like men don't struggle with gossip. But a lot of times, when you have a lot of gossip playing around, you'll find that the people passing it along are women. And not always, but so women, if you want to be a leader in God's church, learn to not pass along gossip. Don't talk about people behind their back. If you have an issue with someone, go to them face to face, just between the two of you. You don't need to talk about it. And men, you don't need to always be right, and you don't need to be boastful. So it's very interesting. God places a lot of emphasis in his word on women caring for their children, caring for their home. That is so valuable to God. And that is a huge ministry for women. So, and again, for the man, the same thing, you know, caring for your family well, that matters to God. So the home is important to God. If you are listening and you live at home, even though you're a son or daughter, you are in such a good place to learn leadership principles from your mom and dad, and you can learn from their mistakes too. But also, you're in such a good place to learn to be tender-hearted and caring and care for your younger brothers and sisters, or if you have nieces and nephews, to honor your father, to honor your mom, because a good follower makes a good leader. And learning to be a blessing to the people in authority over you, not only will you reap what you sow, which is good stuff, but you'll also learn a lot of principles along the way about what it means to serve and to be a blessing. So I'm going through all these qualifications, and you're thinking to yourself, you don't know me. I am an arguer. I just always have to be right. And I don't want to argue, but I always find myself getting in arguments and in my mind thinking, oh my goodness, you're so stupid. Or you might be listening and saying, oh, you nailed me. I gossip all the time. Or maybe you just have no self-control, you know, like you think, well, I'm not addicted to wine, but I really am addicted to food or, you know, soda or something like that. Is that it? Then if you're listening and you struggle like with anything or you don't know the word yet, is that it? Are you like out of the running to lead? And I would just say to you, no way, because We're saved by grace, but it's not just that our sins are forgiven. It's that Jesus comes. He moves inside of us, and he begins to live his life through us and lead through us. So I want to read you one of my favorite verses. It's from Galatians 2:20-21, and it says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died by nothing. So yes, you do have to meet those qualifications, but they are not impossible for you because Jesus, the perfect leader of all times, lives in you. Yes, you may say, you know what? I have no self-control. Great, because Jesus has all the self-control that you need. And if you let him live his life through you and you surrender to him, you will have all the self-control you need. And if you remember that Jesus is in you and you surrender and say, Lord, live your life through me, he will lead through you. He will help you to be gentle instead of prideful. He will help you to keep things between you and the person who's offended you instead of gossiping. He will help you to understand the word and learn it more and more and be able to teach others. So you see, if you want to be a leader who impacts the world, you start with Christ in you. And if you're not saved and you say, well, I don't even know if Christ is living me, I believe in God, but I don't really know him personally, then I am going to say to you, give your heart to Jesus Christ because he loves you. He gave his life for you. And you cannot be right with God apart from him because you see, you're a sinner and you have done things to sin against God, and that sin has made you his enemy. But Jesus loved you so much that he came to earth, he died on the cross for your sins, and he took the penalty that you deserve. And if you believe in Jesus and commit your life to him and surrender to him, he will invade your life and he will turn everything upside down and he will live his life through you. And all of a sudden, where there used to be, it was just normal to sin, to be sassy to your parents, to be discontent, to be frustrated and angry, all of a sudden, there's a new nature. When Jesus moves in, suddenly there's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And when you do sin, it feels so weird. Like, wait, what am I doing? Why am I getting angry? I don't want to do this. So anyway, I just want to encourage you, let Jesus live his life through you as a leader. I hope I've given you some ways that you can become a leader. I've explained what a leader is and what it does, but I've been kind of vague, right? Like I've just said, okay, you know, leaders do this, nebulous, leaders are this, nebulous, this is what the world says, this is what God says. So what about in the practical? If you say, okay, I want Jesus to live through me, I want to be his leader, I want him to lead through me, what can I do in a practical way to lead? Well, let me just share another principle with you that I love this principle. It's Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. That's from Luke 16:10. The principle there is faithful in little, faithful in much. Unfaithful in little, unfaithful in much. You know, that was a principle to me when my husband and I, we didn't have much money and we were struggling, and the Lord just said, be faithful in little so that I can trust you to be faithful in much. And so I want to be faithful and grateful and spend my money how you want me to, but also be faithful in leading. Remember, I told you leadership is responsibility with authority that goes along with it. So what are your responsibilities? You might say, you know what? The only responsibilities I have are to take out the garbage and wash the dishes. Okay, then be super, super faithful. I have children that I have to remind. Oh, do you remember it's your turn to do this? But my son, nope. He walks by the garbage, and if he sees it needs emptying, he scoops it up and takes it out. I never, ever have to ask him. And he's been faithful like that for so many years. I mean, since he was probably in middle school. And I'm so grateful because I know that he is faithful in that little thing, that tells me not, oh, he's called to be a garbage man. No. It tells me he can be faithful in bigger things because that's his character, faithfulness. And so my son at work, he's faithful at his job at Publix. And if they need someone who's going to be faithful to be in charge when someone's away, they call him because they know he's faithful. He's faithful as a teen leader in ministry at church, and people can rely on him because he's faithful, because that's his character. So when you're faithful in little, it's not just that job. It's who you are and who you are becoming. So whatever your job is around the house, be faithful in it. What about your schoolwork? Be faithful in your schoolwork. Don't have to be reminded to get work done. Don't do assignments half-heartedly. Be excellent at everything that you do. Now, once you're being faithful in your responsibilities, look around you. The first thing to notice is, are there needs around me that I can meet? Maybe your older sister is married and she's been really sick and she has two little toddlers. And maybe it would really be a blessing if you offered, hey, can I come over for an afternoon and watch your kids so you can rest? Or maybe it would be that you notice that there's a broken door in the guy's bathroom and you say to your pastor, hey, I know how to fix things. How about if I fix the door for you? And he says, oh, great. I've been wanting to do it and I just haven't had the time. And so you're looking around you for needs because leaders take initiative and they meet needs. Leaders exist because there's needs. Remember, you have a responsibility, authority to meet the responsibility. If there's no needs, there's no need for a job, a responsibility. Leaders aren't people who just want to boss people around, so they just look for people to boss around. Leaders are people who see needs and meet them. So maybe you see that the teens need encouragement in the Lord around you. So you think, I want to be a teen leader because I believe God can help me encourage the teens. Or maybe you have a heart for children and you think, you know, I really believe there's a need for children to learn about Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. And so you feel like you have an anointing to explain the Bible in a way that children can understand. So you decide to be a Sunday school teacher, and then you're absolutely faithful as a Sunday school teacher. So take every responsibility in your life seriously. That is the beginning of leadership. And when you have opportunities to serve, take them. Other opportunities are things like in 4-H, I don't know, I'm sure every state, wherever you're listening from, unless you're in another country, but if you're in America, they probably have 4-H and they have teen groups. And one of the things that in our county in Florida, the teen 4-H groups, they actually lead the children 4-H groups. And so that's a great leadership opportunity. And also, it's a great opportunity to be an officer in the teen group because in that they have officers and things like that. Another place to look, of course, is places around your community where you can volunteer, like at the YMCA or at the local zoo or at a local museum. All of those places are ways that you can volunteer and serve, but they're going to open up leadership opportunities. See, when people see that you're faithful in little, they will make you faithful in much. It's not like people out in the world are going, oh, wow, I read the Bible and the Bible says faithful in little, faithful in much. That's not how it is. This is a principle. And so people, they just are so drawn to people that are faithful because the world is full of unfaithful people. So you will shine like a star if you're just faithful. You know, if you're just faithful in your house and you just do everything without being told, you will shine like a star. And your parents will say, wow, this teen is the most awesome teen that walked the planet. That's what I say about my kids. And if you're faithful in your homeschool co-op, if you're faithful in your volunteer place, if you're faithful at church, people will notice. And so another place to serve is, of course, church. You can be an usher. My kids serve on the worship team, on the sound team. They teach Sunday school. They work in the nursery. Some of the guys that I know, they fix things around the church with their dad. So there's just so many opportunities at your church for ministry. And ask around. And don't think, oh, I'm so young, no one will want me. That is not true. I'm a pastor's wife. And if someone is 12 or someone is 8 and they say to me, Miss Meredith, I want to serve. You know what? I will go make a position for them to serve, because that is such a beautiful thing for a young person to want to serve God in his church. I believe that really honors him. Another area where you can grow as a leader is to start a business. And that's a whole nother show. Starting a business is a neat way to grow in leadership abilities, because there's so many areas like that. So, are you ready to lead? I hope so, because Jesus Christ is the greatest leader that ever lived. And as we follow him, he allows us to lead, to have that stewardship gift of leadership, so that he can lead through us and do awesome, awesome things through us to bless and serve other people. So I hope that you're ready to lead. God bless you, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.